Lord, we do not always find it easy to recognize your coming to us. Come, reveal yourself to us. Meet us in the breaking of the bread. Set our heavy hearts on fire with love for you, and send us on our way rejoicing. For your name's sake, amen.
Our scripture today is taken from Luke 24, verses 13 to 35. It is found in your pew Bible on page 1642 and will be up on the screens. Now, that same day, two of them were going in a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still. Their faces were downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there on these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb, just as the women had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if they were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. If anyone would like to come forward for a children's sermon, you may do so now. Come on up and join Cheryl.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Okay, don't get too comfortable because today, hi, sweetie. Hi, Daniel. Hi, honey. How are you? Welcome. We're so glad to have you. Come on, guys. We're actually going to go for a walk today. So everybody stand up and follow me. We're not leaving the building. We're going to go for a little. You want to join us for our walk? Today, our story takes place on a walk. So everybody follow me. Because today, we'll come right back. We're not leaving the room. It's okay. I promise. See? Last time, we stayed on the steps. So today, we're going to go for a little walk. Because our story today is about a man named Cleopas and a friend, and he went on a walk. And they were walking to a place, and they came upon somebody they didn't know. Have you ever met somebody you didn't know? Maybe you're out in the park, you don't know who they are. But this guy started talking to them. And he said to them, "Why are you guys so sad?" Because the men were walking, and they were talking, and they said, "Oh, we're so sad. Haven't you heard the sad news?" And they said, "No, I haven't. What is this sad news?" And they said, "There was this man named Jesus, and we thought that he was a prophet, and we thought that he was going to save us all, and he died. And we're sad about that." So the man, he looked at them, and he said, "Huh, haven't you heard the stories about Jesus being a prophet? Didn't you know that he was going to have to suffer and he was going to have to die?" And they just kept being sad. And they were almost at the end of the road where they had to be. And the two men said, "Hey, it's getting dark. Why don't you come to my house and we'll have some bread and we'll have a meal?" Because he didn't want them to stay in the dark. So they went into the meal, and this guy that they still didn't know, he went up to the table, and he took his place at the table, and he saw the bread, and he said, "Thank you, God." He gave thanks, and he took the bread, and he broke the bread. And you know what? At that moment when he broke that bread, the people knew who he was. Do you know who it was? It was Jesus. Oh my! They heard he was alive, but they didn't see him until he broke the bread and gave thanks and gave it to them. But then you know what happened? He disappeared. The Jesus just disappeared. But the men believed, they knew who he was, and they were so happy. They ran to tell the other people that they had seen Jesus, that he was alive. So cool. Isn't that cool? You know, sometimes I like to walk a lot. I walk really early in the morning with my dog. And sometimes when I'm walking, I'm a little sad too. And then I say a prayer, and I remember that even today when we're walking, even though we don't see or recognize Jesus, he walks with us all the time. And today we're going to sit around the table and we're going to break bread and give thanks and be reminded that Jesus is very much alive. He's alive in our hearts, he's alive in the world, and will always be alive. Let's say a little prayer. Jesus, thank you so much for revealing yourself to us. We know that sometimes, Jesus, we don't see you walking beside us, but in our hearts we know that you are always there. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you guys for coming on a walk with me.
The year was 2006. It was October. In Queens, Flushing, to be exact. National League Championship Series. Carlos Beltran up to the plate. Bases loaded. Down by a couple of runs. Bottom of the ninth inning. Full count. Every fan hanging on every pitch, every foul ball, thinking all he has to do is hit a single. Right up the middle into the outfield. We're going to win the game. We're going to go to the World Series. Beltran is there. He's waiting. The pitcher delivers the pitch. right down the middle of the plate, and Beltran just stands there and watches it for strike three. Strikes out, loses the game, the Cardinals go on to play in the World Series and to win it. Why do I bring this up today? Because my disappointment was so great, I could not be consoled. To this day, if you say the name Carlos Beltran to me, I don't think about all of the home runs that he hit in the World Series for the Houston Astros when they won the World Series. I don't think of all of the clutch hits that he had as a Met to get them to the place where he was. The image that bears in mind for me is him with the bat resting on his shoulder for strike three. Sometimes our disappointment is so great that we are unable to see past it. Our hopes are so placed in this one person that when they let us down, it destroys us. And so it was for our two companions on the road to Emmaus. Here they've been in Jerusalem. They were there on Palm Sunday, waving their own palm branches, laying their cloaks out in the road and saying, "Hosanna in the highest, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming of the ancestor, the successor of our king, David." They had hoped that Jesus would finally bring peace and restoration to Israel. And their hopes died on a cross on Friday. And so here they are, dejectedly leaving the city to go back home. It's over. It's been a nice ride, but their disappointment is too great. And as they're walking along, someone walks up behind them and begins to walk with them. Undoubtedly, they're trading hellos, you know. "Why are you so downcast?" the stranger says. To which they say, "Where have you been? Were you born yesterday? Did you not see strike three looking? Have you not seen, did you not hear all of the things that were happening in Jerusalem this week? What, are you coming from somewhere else? How could you possibly be there in Jerusalem and not see what happened to this man Jesus? We had placed all of our hopes on him. He was going to be the one who was finally going to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Roman Empire." And the stranger says to them, "Don't you know? Don't you remember what he said to you?" And then began to explain to them from their own scripture, which they undoubtedly knew. I mean, they'd been living and walking with Jesus for all of this time. And Jesus preached from the scriptures all the time. So they were hearing nothing new. But as they walked along, they heard from the law, from the prophets, all of the reasons why Jesus was and is the Messiah. To which they replied, "True, I mean, some of the women who travel with us went to the tomb this morning and they saw kind of a funny sight, but, I mean, they're women. I can't believe them, right?" Maybe not exactly a PC thing to say today. This morning, we talked in Sunday school about mansplaining. Familiar with this concept? There was actually something in the newspaper this morning, a columnist writing about mansplaining, this thing where men explain to women things that they already know, but men assume that they don't, like what they're watching when they're watching a hockey game, or how to, you know, tie a fly onto the end of a fly fishing rod and reel. Things that you know how to do, right, Cheryl?
Hockey, yes.
All right, there you go. See, Mike doesn't have to explain to you every bit of the game. That's good. That's good. We'll save that for after the sermon. That's a sermon for another day. That's right. That's right. So, they finally get to the place where they are going, and the stranger continues along his way. He's going to go down the road a little bit further, but these two, they've been so intrigued by this conversation. And it's getting dark. And because they are good Jewish people, they decide to invite the stranger into their home. See, it's getting late. It's not safe out there. Come, dine with us. And so they do. They go into the house and they sit down for the meal. Now remember, we're still in the season of Passover for these folks, right? It's a week-long thing. So here they are, they're seated at the table. When the stranger does something that strangers normally wouldn't do, he takes control of what's happening at the table. He takes the bread, which undoubtedly for them would have been a good deal flatter than what this bread is, and he gives thanks, and he breaks it, and he gives it to them. Now, if you're not familiar with what those different actions mean, then just hang with us here in about 10 more minutes, and we're going to explain it in its fullness. Of course, it's the verbatim thing that Jesus did with his disciples at the Last Supper. And perhaps something that he had done countless times with his disciples to the point where these two, Cleopas and his friend, his wife, his companion, we don't really know who the other person is, they immediately finally recognize the stranger. It's the risen Christ. And the moment that they recognize him, he disappears from their sight, and they leave their meal untouched, and they turn around, and they go right back to Jerusalem so they can talk with Peter and the other disciples, to which they hear with amazement that Jesus revealed himself to Peter, too. Somehow, Jesus is able to be in two very distinct places with not very much time. And the two men say, well, man, woman, we don't know, say to each other how our hearts burned within us while he taught us from the scriptures. Which is every teacher's dream, isn't it? For someone's heart to burn within them. I would take a strange warming of the heart. How our hearts burned within us while he taught us. They knew it was him all along, and yet their despair, their grief, their disappointment kept them from really being able to see him until that point at which he fully revealed himself. There's a lesson, I think, to be learned in all of this. Well, there's probably more than one. But the one that comes to mind for me this morning is the variety of different ways that Christ is revealed to us in our lives in the moments when we need him to be revealed. If we think to last week's sermon, where the women show up to the tomb and it's empty, their encounter with the risen Christ was not actually an encounter with the risen Christ. It was word of mouth. It was someone else telling them that Jesus had risen. And they believed and went and told someone else. For the disciples, it was the testimony of those who had received the original message. For Peter, it was running to the empty tomb to see for himself, to see the grave clothes there in the tomb, going home wondering at what it might mean. For these two companions on the road, it was first in hearing the teachings from the Old Testament about who Jesus was, but then it was fully revealed in the breaking of the bread. God uses a variety of ways to reveal himself to us. In our workshop for bringing children to the Lord's table, we talk about it as God using all five of our senses to demonstrate his love for us. We're used to sort of the auditory hearing piece. At least those of us in the Reformed tradition show up week after week to hear someone talk for an hour or so. But we have visuals as well. Those who have perhaps used artwork to express the good news. Here, Rembrandt, in the breaking of the bread on the road to Emmaus, and that moment captured in which the two companions see Jesus, and you see the shock on their faces as he's revealed to them for the very first time. Of course, while the two men are looking at Jesus, Jesus is looking at us. And when you receive the communion elements later, you'll taste the bread and the grape juice. You'll be able to feel what it feels like in your hands. You'll be able to taste it on your lips. You'll be able to smell what it smells like. God uses so many different ways to reveal himself to us in those moments when we need it. Perhaps in a difficult time in your life, it was reading a book or a poem, or perhaps a passage from Scripture that you found to be particularly comforting and you saw the face of Jesus in that. Or perhaps it was in the words of a trusted friend or a loved one who came to comfort you and speak words of power and new life in your midst. Whatever the case might be, perhaps it's in the words of children who hear stories from Sunday school and then come and tell them in new and interesting ways, providing details that perhaps no one taught them, but that their imaginations come up with. You discover miraculous things in the way that the Spirit moves in and through us. God uses the people and circumstances in our lives to make himself fully known. And who knows? Perhaps you will be someone today who, going forth from this place, becomes the presence of Christ for another person, speaking a word or performing an act that demonstrates the love and power of Jesus Christ in a very meaningful and personal way. God is able to use us, just as God is able to use others in other circumstances, to bring that good news home to us, fully revealing himself, so that in the knowledge of who Jesus is, we are free to live our lives fully accepted by God, fully at peace with one another, and able to seek the justice of his kingdom. Let us pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for revealing yourself to us in so many ways, reminding us that there is no right way to encounter you. Lord, we pray that now as we move into a time where we gather around your table as a community, as a people, that you would host us at that table, that you would reveal yourself and your grace to us in these meaningful words and the sights and the sounds and the smells and the tastes. Make your presence felt with us in powerful ways, Lord, that we might be your presence to others. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.